It's the LGBT Chat Podcast, a space for LGBTQ friends and allies to share personal stories, current events, and life endeavors. Hosted by Aida Ramirez.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the LGBT Chat Podcast. This is your host, Aida. Joining us again tonight is Andy. Andy, hey.
Dímelo, tú sabes.
Aquí Dímelo. I feel like that's like the best like Dominican greeting you could get, right? Like when you meet another Dominican, sabes. It's like, dímelo, ¿qué lo que? ¿Qué la vaina? What's going
¿Qué
on?
Okay. ¿Qué lo que? You got to put the test out there. You got to see if they're really Dominican. So si tú le dices dímelo y te responden otra vaina, no puede ser dominicano.
Right, exactly. And then sometimes you get the aquí, tranquilo, tranquilo, quieto.
Like, nobody says that anymore.
I haven't heard that one.
What? De lo mío. No, that means like, are you one of me? Are we one?
You see what happens when you leave, to like a foreign place?
Tú necesitas coger la niña, la pinta, la Santa María para atrás.
Exactly. Back to Spain.
Spain, no.
That's where we came from. So today we're just going to dive a little bit about women in the military, women in like the armed forces and some of its origins, some of its like hiccups and issues we've had and diversity and everything else in between, right? And Andy has been gracious enough to lend us her time and her stories and her experience to get this episode together for you guys. And again, as we mentioned last time, I have a huge respect and an admiration for people that are willing to sacrifice not just their lives, right? Because not everybody in the military or in the armed forces goes into combat, right? We have people that just sacrifice.
Even time is a sacrifice.
Exactly. And their liberties to protect us on a daily. And that's super admirable. I have a lot of respect and admiration, but the system is flawed and is specifically flawed against minorities, women, people of color, and us LGBTQ people. And it hasn't been until like very recent where we've been like allowed to participate. But let's not get that wrong, right? Like women have been involved in the military and in armed forces and helping since the beginning of time, since beginning of like World War One. World War One. Back when George Washington, like women made up most of like nurses and were also hurt and injured and died in the battlefield protecting us.
That's right.
And it wasn't until like 1948 when Truman made a law making women permanent part of the military services. And that was 1948. Can you believe that? Like 10 years before my mom was born. That was like
yesterday. Tú sabes tu vaina, because that's a good information to know. I think that's, you know, a lot of us, and like I didn't know that, and I joined the military. So thank you for knowing that. You know, I think that's something very important.
I did some research for you today.
gracias.
But I feel like we lose some sense of like shit that's going on, right? Like if you think about it, 1948 was like around the corner. That wasn't that long ago. And so what was it that made you decide to join the armed forces?
Mostly because I didn't have a place to stay. I was living from house to house, and I wanted to be able to have my own income. I was in love at that time, and I wanted to be able to support my partner at that time. You know, I wanted to be able to have a future for her. And my best friend who I was living with at the time, you know, I would stay at her house sometimes, I'll stay at my uncle's sometimes, but she joined, and I was like, I'm going to do it. I need some type of income. I need a future. I didn't really want to go to college, you know, but I did want money quicker than going to college. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I also, as a little girl, wanted to join the military. I love being in uniform. I said I'll either be a cop or I was going to be in the military. And I ended up going to the military, And it was tough for me. I joined when they had the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And that was tough because it was as if it didn't exist. So I got blackmailed. I got harassed. I had this thing with my partner at the time where I taught her how to write to me in code.
Okay.
And she would write me letters. And what was cool about it is that I got a letter every day, you know? So some people got a letter sometimes. My partner at the time wrote me a letter every day, sent me one.
Oh, qué linda, qué chula.
You know, and then she'll put perfume so it can smell good. But even though it was cute, it did help me mentally. It also brought curiosity onto the other soldiers. Like, who is this person that keeps writing to you every day? What does this person have to say to you every day? Like, literally, it was letters every day. I'm not exaggerating.
So back it up. Let's back it up a little bit. How old were you when you first joined?
18.
Okay.
So I took the test at 17, passed, and joined at 18.
Was your brother also in the Army? Was that where you were?
He was in the Navy. So he did Navy. I did Army.
Was that before you or after? Is he older or younger?
We're Irish twins. So we only a few months apart.
Okay.
he joined first. Okay. And then, you know, I had to be following the leader and I joined after.
That's where I was trying to get to, like. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, like, that you follow in his footsteps.
I definitely did. We also have older siblings who also joined the military. So I felt like I needed to do it too. I wanted to see how tough I was, you know. So
you also have siblings that are like in the and like
police.
Right. So does it run in the family or is it just the three of you?
All my siblings are either cops or were in the military. One of the two.
Gotcha.
We done it, you know? And
you told yourself, you were saying.
Oh yeah. So when I joined the military, because when I joined, I didn't tell my mom because we had an on and off relationship. So I decided to be an asshole and tell my mom the day that the soldiers were coming
to
pick me up.
Why do we do that? I did the same. Actually, I left Puerto Rico when I graduated from high school and I didn't tell my mom till I got to New York.
How do we do that?
I don't know. Sorry.
But I felt like I did it because my mom doesn't really show emotions or love. So I was like, she's not going to give a shit anyways. So I'm going to tell her last minute. So I told her like an hour before the soldiers showed up. And I was like, mom, I have a letter for you. A sergeant is coming in an hour. I joined the military. I'm leaving. And that was the first time I see my mom cry. And she told me, don't leave. My little sister was holding my bag. She's Aww. Like, I don't want you to leave. So even though I kind of wanted to be like, fuck you. The fuck you was to me because I was fucked up in boot camp. I was crying. I kept thinking about my mom. But then I had to like mentally tell myself something to push myself, which was, this is just a vacation. This is temporary. This is so you could have a better future, not only for yourself, but for your partner.
And I'm sure it wasn't a vacation.
It wasn't, but it helped me get through everything, you know, and I did help other soldiers get through things by telling them, oh, this is a vacation. Even though deep down, sometimes I didn't feel it was a vacation. Sometimes it was very torturous. I had to push myself to believe that it was a vacation because if not, I was gonna break, you know?
Andy, do you feel like that experience of like boot camp helped structure you as a person that you are now, or did it do little?
I feel like it gave me integrity, you know, it made me appreciate the civilian life, the things that we don't appreciate. There was things that I would not appreciate. I did not appreciate being able to make phone calls. I did not appreciate being able to buy a Metro card, like little things like that. And I did grow up in a very strict household. So the military was not so bad in that sense, because I did have a rough childhood, you know? So the military, even though it was rough, a part of it I was kind of used to. It was kind of familiar to me.
Right. So you decide to join, you go through boot camp. Do you pass the academy?
I did, but I went through some shit. Like, I broke my, I didn't break it, but I fractured my ankle. I got a spider bite that I almost lost my right leg. And I still did what I needed to do with two messed up legs. Wow. I didn't let that stop me. And I believe that everything I went through was some kind of push. So the weaker I felt, the more harder I worked. Mm-hmm. So being that my legs were messed up, I wanted to work harder than any other soldier out there. And I did. I think the last time I ran was the fastest I ran.
Do you ever feel like you had to prove something to yourself or to other people? Or was it just like you were just trying to do this for you, to prove yourself that you could actually do this?
I wanted to prove to my family that I could do things, that I could make it, that I could, that I was strong enough. I wanted to also know how strong I was to myself. Like, I wanted to teach myself more of me, you know? The military did teach me how strong I am, you know? Like, the body could get so weak, but it's the mind that keeps you going. There was times where my body was limped, where I couldn't keep going, but my mind was awake. And as long as my mind was awake, I kept pushing myself, you know? No matter how tired I was like, you have enough energy to think, so you have enough energy to keep going.
I'm gonna need that brain, all jokes aside, from when I'm doing those drives from LA.
Te lo regalo.
Thank you. From when I do those drives from LA to back to Vegas, because I swear to God, I start seeing double. That weak crap gets to me where I'm like, I think I'm fine. And then I'm like, oh shit, I'm swerving. So like, we need to pull over. But it's amazing what the mind can do, what the brain can do. I mean, it's so incredible. It's such a beautiful creature that it helps us through our entire life. And I don't know if you've heard of Doctor Who. Do you ever watch it? The show?
Not
She's like, Doctor Who?
Yeah,
she got it too. But he was saying on an episode, I think it was David Tennant or Matthew, whomever, he was just saying that the greatest gift we have is our brain and the ability to forget things, how it protects us, it heals us, it does so many wonders for us, even to the fact of like, if we weren't able to forget, we wouldn't like reproduce, right? Because who wants to go through labor?
It's true.
So like the fact that it like does things chemically to like induce you into happiness so that when you decide to reproduce again or go through labor again or whatever, you don't like not go for it. I'm not making any sense, but I know what I'm saying.
I get what you mean. To be honest, I feel like my brain chooses certain things to forget and also chooses things to remember. And the things that my brain chooses to remember, even though most of it is hurtful things, I've learned to use that as a battery and not a clutch, you know, because
the alternator.
Yeah, because I don't want to keep spending another day wasting it being hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to seek for some type of healing, because throughout life, we are going to experience hurt. We're here to love, hurt, get sad, get happy. We're here to experience life, you know?
So how do you do that? How do you decide that you want to move on, that you don't want to experience another day of being hurt? You just want to focus on being happy.
What I do is I distract myself. I find things to do. If I run out of things to do, I start creating things. So yo me pongo, tú sabes, un día aburrida, yo digo, yo voy a crear una nevera. Aunque no sé nada de una nevera. Nada más sé abrirla y comer.
And I think we touched on this before, right? Because we were saying how if we, when we're going through depression or, you know, it's a chemical imbalance, it's not something that we choose to do. So like learning to know what helps us cope and what helps us get through the day. It's also very like part of the medication aside from the medical medication. Right. So I think it's interesting that you're also able to do that, you know, to find other ways of coping.
And it's crazy because some people find comfort into speaking to others. And I'm not like that. I find comfort in being a hermit, meaning there's times that I don't know if it's because I'm a Cancer, but I want to be in my shell. I want to think things out and I want to find a solution. And I'm going to come out when I'm ready to come out. I need to be emotionally well, you know, sometimes there's nothing bothering me. And because someone else is sad and I feel that, I've become sad. And that's something that I've learned to get rid of little by little. Like if somebody is too toxic, I need to remove myself because I'm not going to continue to feed this to me when I work so hard to be happy and content with my life right now.
But also not letting that stopping you from being empathetic, because you also have to, you know, while you don't want to take in that sad, those sad emotions or those toxic emotions, you still want to sympathize and empathize with people that are might be going through something, especially somebody that's close to you or whatnot.
I do believe in sympathizing, but also you cannot baby anyone.
Exactly.
I believe in being realistic with people. Sometimes advice I give may be harsh, but I feel like if someone was this harsh with me before, maybe I would have woken up a little earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was hearing this from Monica Padman and I can't talk today. Kirsten Bell. They were interviewing Oprah and they were talking about this. If you don't know how to say no or how to do things for yourself, nobody else is going to do it for you. So getting back to the army, so you found ways of coping, you found ways of pushing, and your brain helped you cope and push through those like injuries and spider bites, which is freaking insane.
You know what's crazy is like I have the ability to daydream. I've had this thing since I was a child, like a baby in diapers, that I daydream. So it's not something that I do on purpose. Sometimes I just daydream just because I feel like my brain is so creative, it just goes. So a lot of the time I would daydream of my brother and what he was doing in boot camp. So if he passed, I needed to pass. And I would daydream about my best friend and what she was doing. I would daydream about my high school sweetheart and what she was doing, you know, and all those things that I picture helped me push through, you know. One thing I did want to touch on when it came to serving as a lesbian in the closet for the army, you know, cause, and I say in the closet, I was out and about, but when I gave my oath to the country, I had to pretend I was not a lesbian, you know? I think that that time it was very difficult, but I wouldn't take it back because now people can serve and be gay.
And that was part of your sacrifice that you gave.
And that was part of my sacrifice. So I'm cool with that, but I do wanna tell my story in that, you know? I feel that who I was before the military and who I was after the military and who I am now are three different people. So before the military, I was out and about loving my partner at the time, giving her all this love and attention. When I joined the military, I was afraid to love her in public. I was afraid for people to see me next to her, to kiss her, to hold her. You know, and I became this paranoid person that it was such an uncomfortable thing to go through. And I could only imagine what others felt like, you know.
And how what it felt like to your partner.
And what it felt like to her. I remember she came all the way to my graduation day and she even told me, "You're not the same. You don't even hold me how you used to." And it was because I was so paranoid. Like, did somebody see me walk into this hotel with this girl? You know, and I felt bad because I never had no one have my back the way she had my back. You know, and I felt like I didn't have her back. you know, and it was because of the fear of getting caught. Because if you would have gotten caught in the military at that time, you lose your rank, you get this honorable discharge, and you don't qualify for things when you leave the military, you right. know? So it was like very traumatizing. I would get blackmailed, threatened, you know, like.
So when you say you were blackmailed, what do you mean?
Like I was told that they were gonna out me.
Okay.
You know.
So you had several people. You had several people blackmailing you.
Yes, and these were people with power.
Okay.
So, and this one drill sergeant, I remember he sat in my bed and he opened a letter that my girlfriend at the time wrote me, and I was shitting bricks. Like, I was scared. My heart was going crazy, because I'm just like, I don't know what she wrote. I know I taught her how to write to me in code, where only me and her know what we're saying to each other. So, but sometimes it would slip. Like, she'll be like, oh, I miss you, and my wifey, and all these things where I'm just like, oh, I hope she doesn't write nothing gay in there, you know? So it was a lot of mind fuck, you know? And who I became after the military, I feel like I couldn't take anymore. I felt like a fucking robot, you know? I felt like I had to be this person who I did not know when I looked in the mirror, you know? And when I left the military, I started to be more open with myself, more accepting, like, this is who I am. And I started feeling again. I feel like being in the military played a part on why me and my partner at the time didn't work out.
By the way, you guys can't see me, but I'm holding my face, and it's not because you're boring me. It's because I'm tired as fuck. I'm holding my head up. Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. And I thank you for taking time for us.
No, of course. I feel the military did play a part on my emotions and why I couldn't show love. And I'm a very loving person, but I couldn't show it no matter what. And it was hurting me inside. Like, my partner at the time was crying, and she's like, you're not the same person. Who are you? You know,
you were emotionally, you were conditioned to be emotionally restrained for so long. How long were you in the military?
I did 3 years until my sister passed away, and I didn't take her passing so well.
So, I'm sorry.
I ended up leaving. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I would join the military again, even though I went through all that bullshit. Just because there's certain things that as a soldier, a civilian would never understand. And that's friendships that I've made in the military are nothing like my civilian friendships. You know, I have a friend that no matter what, that's my sister. And it's because, pardon me with what I'm gonna say, and maybe I'm sharing too much, but this is the truth. You know, this is the girl that we would take showers together. You can hear me?
Yeah.
This is the girl, because I don't know, my headphones just did something.
Yeah.
So this is the girl I would take showers with together. We would shave together, take a shit together. Everything we had to do together. And in the military, even though that's a lot of information, in the military, you can't go nowhere by yourself. So she became my buddy. I needed to learn to be okay with someone knowing me completely, you know? And anybody else in the military knows what the hell I'm talking about, because everyone needs to go through what I'm talking about, you know? Right. But yeah.
So you spent 3 years in the military. Your sister passes away. And then how does your life change emotionally after leaving the army?
I went downhill because I wanted to stay in the military, but I didn't take my sister's death well. Yep. I started drinking and drugging. And I didn't care about life. You know, I just felt that, I felt that the army took my dignity by just letting me go while I was grieving. You know, I felt like I needed more support than what I got. I feel like because I was a lesbian is why they wanted to get me out. That's what it felt like.
Were you discharged?
I was generally discharged. And I was also harassed by a sergeant. Me and the person I joined the military for, we ended up in the same unit. And this sergeant was trying to sexually harass us, you know? And because we spoke up, we became like the target. We became the soldiers that needed to get kicked out.
So what state were you in, if you don't mind me asking? If you're able to say.
Okay. I was in New York. Yeah. Mira, en este momento ya no me importa. Yo voy a decir todo.
Nobody, I doubt anyone in the Pentagon is listening. But Big Brother is watching and listening.
Is that people get afraid to speak their truth.
Yeah.
I feel like I went through shit because it needs to be said. Or so the story needs to be told. So mistakes won't repeat themselves, even though mistakes must happen.
And you don't know who you're helping along the way either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We were listening. We were actually watching the story of Vanessa Guillen yesterday, who was in Fort Hood. And am I saying that right? Fort Hood?
You're saying it correct. They call it, I forgot.
For harassment. but I hear that there's been a lot of complaints and a lot of issues in that base. Way before her and after her. Yeah. And so what I found interesting, Vanessa Guillen was a soldier, right, in the army.
Yeah, she was.
And she was 22 years old when she was killed. They were looking for her for about 3 months before they found her body. I think this happened in April, and they found her body at the end of June of last year, 2020. They found out who was assaulting her, quote unquote, because they still haven't really, you know, said, oh, it was, you know, definitively that it was him. I think his name was Aaron. I can't think of his last name right now. But what we found interesting, D, I'm calling you D like we homies.
No, go ahead.
Do they call you D?
Llámame lo que tú quieras.
They call you D?
No, just call me Andy. Or little dude. Lo que tú quieras, tú me llamas. A, B, C, D. A mí no me importa.
Oye, what we found interesting was that they're saying that the guy escaped. He was somewhere being watched under the pretense that he had supposedly violated quarantine protocols or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out that they found her body, which is like, why did they let him know that they found her body? How did he find out?
Son idiota. I mean, to be honest, when I think about the whole situation and me knowing my experience in the military, they know where you are at all times.
Yeah.
So for that to happen the way it happened, I feel there's other people there involved.
That's where we were getting at, right? So like what you said, right? They know where you are at all times. There's footage of her leaving like a convenience store or gas station. They know that Aaron was the last person that saw her alive. Why did they just dismiss it so like?
Because the military, one thing that I've learned that they don't give a fuck about the female soldiers. You know, female soldiers are constantly being molested, being harassed, being treated lower because they are a female. I know because I've been there, you know, and that's a problem the military has because they will back up a male soldier before they back up a woman.
Right. And that's where I was getting at. Go ahead.
I feel like a woman needs to fight hard to earn rank in order to earn her respect.
You have to work twice as hard as a man. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I was coming from. Like, while it might not be the entire system that hates women or that doesn't want women in the military, they support and they back up men that treat women as if though that was the truth. Right. As though. Mm-hmm. the military doesn't care about women, but it's not, that may not be the case, but you're backing up men and people in power and people in positions of power that are allowing things like this to go on and happen, and not reprimand them and not give them any form of discipline for those kind of behaviors. And so with this guy, Vanessa had already reported him. She had told her mom that she was going to do something about it.
But they don't do nothing. The military doesn't do anything.
And it's because they have their own committee of like courts, mm-hmm. right? And hearings. It's not the outside.
And not only that, if the person that's doing something has more rank than you, that plays a big role. For example, I barely had any rank compared to the person that was harassing me. And he was still allowed on base, even though I reported him more than once. And it's ridiculous because they don't give a shit about a woman, no matter how you look. And I couldn't say I was a lesbian, but you could tell by my mannerism that I was not into men and I was getting harassed.
Right.
You know? Ahí te enseña el respeto que no tienen a uno.
And what she just said for you guys that don't speak Spanish was that it teaches you and it shows you the kind of respect that, you know, men have or the military mm-hmm. has towards women and the women that are serving. Mm-hmm. I think they lose sight of the fact that you're just as brave and you're just as important as anybody else. You're, like we said, you're willing to sacrifice your time, your freedom, your space, your liberties, something as simple as, like you said, going to the bathroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, even going to the bathroom, you can't go to the bathroom by yourself. You can't do anything by yourself. I tried to sneak off and go use the bathroom by myself and I got in trouble. They had me stand in the middle of like a big ass crowd and they had me sing the song all by myself. Don't wanna be.
Talk to the about point humiliation.
That when I graduated and I went to a different location, they were all talking about a girl that had to sing in the middle. And it was secretly me, but I wasn't gonna say shit. I was like, oh, yeah. I wonder who that girl was.
Celine Dion. Oye, so what we were saying with Aaron and the guy who allegedly killed Vanessa was that, so he escaped the room where he was in under the pretenses that he had violated COVID protocols and they were holding him. They were holding him with a person that was unarmed. Okay. They had him, they let him flee. How are you in a base? First of all, knowing they know that you might have hurt somebody. Second of all, you have him with a person that's not armed. Third of all, you let him escape. How does one person escape a military base? I don't understand that, right? So then he escapes. There's some encounter with police enforcement. He reaches for his weapon. He kills himself. And Vanessa's mom is saying that there's reports of two gunshots. Right. That they heard two guns go off saying he didn't kill himself. They killed him before he could actually say anything. And I mean, it's just so bizarro because it's like if he did do it, I don't see him coming clean about it. So how would that make sense that they killed him to shut him off? And if they did do that, how did they hide that? Like, how do they get away with covering something like that up? So
I feel like the military could cover up whatever they want. They could create whatever story they want you to believe. When it comes to Vanessa Gillen, my heart goes out to that girl because I can only imagine what she went through. You know, compared to what I went through, it does not compare. And I was nervous. I was scared. You know, I could only imagine what she felt. And
she was...
We need to speak.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We need to speak up for females that right now are Vanessa Gillen. Mm-hmm. Because right now there are females that are being harassed, believe it or not. That females that as a soldier, you're not getting the respect that you give to give your oath to this country. And giving your oath to this country is very powerful. And I don't think a lot of people understand that and they don't give a shit about that. You know, a lot of us join the army or even just the military for a better life, not only for ourselves, but for others. and we get treated like shit. Even roaches are treated better than us, you know? I feel like there's a lot of untold stories when it comes to females. I've met many females that have told me their stories, and I can only imagine what can happen in the future if we don't start speaking up and finding
holding
ways,
these people accountable.
Yeah, holding these people accountable and finding ways to get respect. We females, we are goddesses in this world. We create life.
But you see what's, you know, so sad about what you just said, that we shouldn't have to find ways to get respect. That should be given. You know, if you're signing a document and you're giving your way, your life and your freedom and your liberties to protect this nation, the least you deserve is respect at the bare minimum. You know, that should just be handed off. How that's taken away from you, you know, that's just, it's beyond me. And I don't get it. I don't get why we treat people that way. The same way that they treat people who are trans people, right? In the armed forces. Sorry, this little girl wants to get on top of me. Who cares what bathroom she wants to go into? Somebody's willing to die to protect my freedom and my liberties and my freedom to say whatever the fuck I want on this radio station, on this podcast. More power to you. Go shit wherever you want to take a shit. You want to go to the men's room? Go to the men's room.
And you know what's crazy? That you cannot tell me that because I'm a lesbian, that you shoot better than me. Exactly. I shoot better than a lot of people, you know? And a lot of the grenades that I've thrown and the freaking weapons I shot better than a lot of straight men out there. And you can't tell me that because yo soy una maldita lesbiana, que un hombre va a poder ser más que yo, you know?
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it wasn't until the year 2000, right? Only 11, how many years was 2000? 21 years ago.
21 years.
Yeah. Can you believe that it's been 21 years since 2000? Let me tell you, it wasn't until 2000 that women were granted equal opportunities in the military. You know what that means? That no longer were they telling women you can't do that job because you're a woman. That was 21 years ago, y'all. 21 years ago. How? Like what you just said, how is it that you can say a man can shoot better than you just because he was born a man?
The crazy thing is, what I feel, my mindset is that people love division. Mm-hmm. People do not like equality.
They love the hierarchy.
They fear that shit. Yeah, they make more money by dividing us, you know? They make more money when we don't work together. It benefits them when we don't work together, you know? They have controlled us to the point where la gente que tiene sección ocho, if you work or gain too much money, you're going to lose your Section 8, or you're going to lose, you get what I'm saying? And our black and brown people don't progress because they don't want to make too much and lose the Section 8. Instead of thinking, let me profit for my people because we deserve to own too.
Exactly.
You know?
But it's because we're conditioned. We're brought in into a society that tells us that we're no good. That tells us where you're black, you're brown. You know, this is what you can get. This is as high as you can get. And then that's that kind of mentality that they build around you. And how do they build that? They build that by overcrowding us in a classroom. They build that by letting liquor stores on every other corner owned by big corporations. Little do they think that people think that they're like mom and pop shops, but they're, a lot of these places are big chains, and they build these places around our communities.
Yeah. How can you want our community to do better and not have so many crimes or theft and stuff like that if you set us up to fail?
Exactly. You know? From the get-go.
Our communities are set to fail. You know, I feel like if we were programmed to succeed and taught to succeed, there will be no crimes or lesser crimes. People would not be having to steal and kill. And, you know, it's just, I have a big thought about all of this because I know a lot of good people that turn their life into negative situation and things just because of how their life turned out to be.
They were born in that cycle. They're born in that cycle and they can't get out of it. And it's that same thought, like, I can't get out of this. I can't, you know, they don't teach us about credits. They don't teach us about IRAs and retirement plans. They teach us how to get to that minimum wage job.
And they teach us how to survive jail. Like, one thing that I believe Willow,
how not to get arrested.
Willow Smith was like, we are trained since we're young how to deal with jail. How are we trained? Well, when we go to school, we hear the bell, we know it's time for lunch. We hear the bell, we know it's time for class. We hear the bell, we know it's time to go outside. We hear the bell, it's time to come back inside. We hear the bell, it's the end of the day. And that's just like how jail is. So that's why a lot of people also feel comfortable going to jail. Some people don't give a shit about going to jail.
They take their freedom for granted and they get back in. They get back into the system. But yeah, it's the way that our society is conditioned. You have minority, low income places where, like you said, you know, you lose your food stamps, you lose your Section 8, you lose all your benefits as soon as you start making a little bit of money. And like you said, instead of thinking, let me go out and get that better job, you're thinking, no, let me quit that job.
Yeah.
So that
and
I
say this from experience, you know, before I even moved to LA, I was living on Section 8. I was living on food stamps and I didn't want to make too much because I didn't want to lose that. And now I make good ass money. And I'm just like, I work hard to be like, I don't ever want the system to have control over me. You know, I don't ever want to depend on having Section 8, on having food stamps. I don't want to depend on that shit. You know, I want to depend on me and whatever I need to do. I want to work hard for it. I want my mom to move out here to California, but she wants to stay with her Section 8 apartment in New York. You know, uno no progresa así.
Andy,
si yo me hubiera quedado, yo no hubiera progresado.
Andy, when I was 10 years old, I already knew what people that came to the States from like DR or Puerto Rico had to do in order to get benefits. I was 10 years old. And I knew the system. I knew the welfare system. I knew what they had to say, what they had to do to claim, to get more money on their taxes, to get more food stamps, to...
Yeah, uno aprende el truco cámara. And the crazy thing is, like, us, as I'm a first generation. I'm not sure. Are you first generation as well?
Yeah.
You know, I'm first generation. So being first generation comes with a big ass luggage.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of things that is expected of you. And I feel that played a big part on me wanting to succeed. You know, you did ask me also what helped me get through the military. Another thing that did help me get through the military, I was think of my mom. My mom came to the United States not knowing English, not knowing anybody. She would pack bags at the grocery store to win enough money to buy diapers and milk for me and my brother. You know, she would scrub toilet seats to be able to have food for us, you know, and she did it. She now has her own place. She has a great job and she knows English. And I think of myself, if I go to a random ass country, not knowing the language, not knowing anyone.
You wouldn't last 2 seconds, right?
I wouldn't last, but and that would be a scary situation. But she did it. And in order for me to succeed and seeing my mom succeed, and I have more privilege than my mom, I will only be failing myself because my mom didn't fail me. You know, and if my mom could do it and she was an immigrant when she came here, que me vale a mí que soy ciudadana.
Right.
You know,
people also take that for granted, like your birthright of just being a citizen. We take that so much for granted. I used to supervise home health aides in New York, like coordinate services for home attendants. And so often I would meet all these people that were like doctors and nurses and surgeons back in their country. And they're here and they're like, you know, cleaning. And it, let me tell you, it's an honorable job to be a home health aide. These are people that go into the home and help people that are disabled, elder or whatever, and help people in the community. But I feel like it's also a stepping stone, right, into a much better you. And not for everybody, right? But I would meet so many of these people that were so great and so talented, and they're here, and they settle so quickly. And I'm like, wait, you have a job that gives you a union that helps you get into nursing school, that helps you validate whatever credits you had in your country. If you want to become a surgeon here again, if you want to do whatever you want to do, that helps you learn the language, that helps you get into become a citizen or whatnot. And oftentimes they're like, I don't have time for that. I need to go make money so that I can go.
We so stuck on working that we don't have a life. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die and I'm being able to say I lived. And I lived because I did the shit I wanted to do in this world, you know? And those are things I think about. Before I die, I'm going to make sure I leave a mark in this world. Yeah. Because before, if I would have died when I got attacked, people would have thought all these shit about me that are not true, you know? And I'm living proof of that, because who I am today is a stronger individual than the day of my attack. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like we can't take for granted the things we go through. We also got to pass the baton, you know? Mm-hmm. We are here to teach others and also learn.
That's the truth. That's just the truth. I wanted to read to you guys a little bit, an article I found at the New York Times, and it's 40 stories from women about life in the military. And I'll share this with you guys in the show notes on the link so you guys can just finish reading this. Let me just get it and save it so I can add it for you guys. Okay. And so the article is written by Lauren Katzenberg, and I won't bore you guys with every little detail in it, but she highlights some important parts, right? She says across the armed services, women make up 16% of active duty military as of 2017. By branch, that number ranged from 8.4% within the Marines, nearly 20% within the Air Force, and their representation is small and growing only marginally. So there's still like only a certain percentage of women that are actively in the military, in active duty. And she goes on to say, despite being overlooked, service women are forging new career paths for themselves and the next generation as they enter jobs that were once close to them. And that just kind of brings me back to what you were saying about passing the baton. You may think that you're just doing this for yourself, but you're doing that for the next little Dominican girl that's growing up and saying, look at Andy, look what she did. And that's so much important, because you don't know how many other people she might affect.
Thank you. You know, I do believe in letting people know, you know, I am a Black Afro-Latina lesbian doing shit I never thought or imagined. And seeing other people do.
Yeah. So they highlight stories of 40 women and the disparity of how they're harassed, how they're, why they joined. And a lot of interesting things on that article. It's written by Lauren Katzenberg. And 40 women who share their stories across the military branches. I loved it. You guys should dig in and give it a look. So even though it wasn't until 1948 that the law was passed for women to be permanently part of the military branches, it wasn't until actually 1976 that the first group of women were admitted into a U.S. military academy and serving. How cool is that? Like, even though it was 1948, the first group of women wasn't until like until the mid 1970s. I think it was 1970 that there was, I read it in an article, hang on. The first like woman pilot. What was her name? Sorry, guys. Thank you for being patient.
And it's crazy because What's crazy to me is that we need to fight in order to let people know we're humans. And you know, it's crazy that women had to fight to be in the damn military. That's yeah. the dumbest shit I've ever heard. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. This should have been okay a long time ago.
Yeah.
Being gay in the military should have been okay a long time ago. I think we have a lot of dumb rules that humans create. We create a lot of dumb shit, you know? And that's stuff that affects us. We all wanna, for example, like, we wanna be loved, but we're not all loving. So that's just crazy to me. We're backwards.
Yeah. And we're still forging pathways, and it's 2021. Mm-hmm. So they mentioned pioneers like Captain Rosemary Mariner, who is one of the first female Navy pilots in the 70s, the first woman to lead a naval aviation squadron. Squadron? How do you say that? Escuadrón.
No, you said it right.
I know it in Spanish. I don't know how to. I've never heard the word in
English. No, you said it right.
She died January 2021 from ovarian cancer, and her memory was honored last month with a flyover using all female pilots. They mentioned First Lieutenant Marina A. Hyrell, who in 2018 became the first woman in the Marine Corps to command an infantry platoon. 2018, y'all. 2018. How crazy is that? But that just goes to show about how much we still have left to, to become equal.
We have a lot, and I don't think that, I feel like the majority makes it difficult for equality. You know, I do believe in the future. I do see a future where we are more free, you know, more free, because our freedom right now is limited. So mm-hmm. I don't consider having freedom when, if I go to Jamaica or somewhere else, I can yeah. get killed because I'm a lesbian.
Exactly.
So we have a lot to do and wait for, but change is coming. I see the change because I joined at a very difficult time, and I do see the beauty in soldiers that are lesbians and gays and are living their best life with their partner, being gay, being lesbians. And what I went through has been worth it for them.
So I'm going to leave you guys with a quote by Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. This is January 24th of the 20, I'm not sure. But she says, not everybody is going to be able to be a combat soldier, but everyone is entitled to a chance. Right? At least a bare minimum is an opportunity. If somebody, like we said, we've been saying the entire show, you want to die and you want to sacrifice your liberties for this nation, this beautiful nation, then by all means, you have my vote. Go for it. And nobody should be stopped. Right. We shouldn't be conditioned to, like, you know, you can't do that because you're a woman. You can't do that because you're gay. You can't do that because you're trans. Everyone deserves an opportunity to show, you know.
Yeah. And thank you for doing this. I think this was a very important topic. Not everyone talks about it. A lot of people are afraid to talk about it. I don't give a shit. I'm an open book.
Yeah.
Yo lo hablo todo, because I needed to hear it once.
I have to. And you don't know who might be hearing this that needs to hear it. I had two people tell me no, because, you know, one of them is still active and the other one is just too afraid to share anything and anything that she might have experienced.
See, that's the thing with the military. They put fear in you. Para que uno no hable. I don't give a fuck. Yo voy a hablar. Tú me lo hiciste, te lo voy a decir.
You never signed that waiver form, right?
Even if I sign it, yo, history is history. You know, you can't hide the truth.
Yeah. Andy, you're fucking awesome.
Thank you
for making time for us. Thank you for sharing. Thank your brother again.
I did answer your questions, you know.
Yeah, you shared, and I appreciate that, because like we said, you never know who might be listening that needs to hear it, or who might share that information along to the next person.
Yeah. So. And just to put it out there, you have to shower with a buddy and everything, so don't judge me, y'all. Okay, at least I was raw and real about it.
So somebody was telling me that they were sectioned into like time segments, not segment, like time sections, like men would go at this time and then women go at a different time in the same tent?
No, not when I was there. Everything is different every
right.
company. My company wasn't like that. I actually lived a very, when I was in the woods, I lived a bougie. I was sneaking to the shower every day. Not every girl showered, which was nasty, but yo soy limpia. Tú me ves así, uno cree que yo no soy limpia, pero a mí.
You don't look dirty?
Okay, just because of my dress. People are judgmental. People,
that's also a bad misconception that you're a certain way because you have a certain hair type.
Yeah. Pero yo soy bien jodona. A mí me gusta todo limpio. Me gusta bañarme todos los días. Eso de que no bañarse, I can't do that. In the military, they have days where you could shower, you can't shower. And I would get in trouble because I showered every day. A mí no me importa. I took the punishment.
Some things you just can't, right?
Yeah.
And that's, again, one of those liberties that people take for granted, taking a shower.
Bueno, Aida, gracias for today. I'm glad to be a part of your podcast. Que se repita.
Thank you. Thank you so much for making time for us. And guys, again, this was in no way, shape, or form a try for you guys to be discouraged to join the military or the armed forces. This is just highlighting some experiences that it's not all, you know, rainbows and butterflies for mm-hmm. women and LGBTQ women who join.
And to be honest, even though I had that experience, I would join again. There's something the military teaches you that you cannot learn in the civilian life.
Amen. With that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Happy trails, everybody. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the LGBT Chat. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, the grass is always greener where you water it. Till next time.